continue on the God's will for you. And God's will for you is what? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Right? It's very simple. Only three verses. Then you don't have to ask God, God, what is your will for me in life so I can, you know, move on, go forward. It's simple. It's simple. God's will for you is 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Only three things. Be joyful. Be joyful. When? No. Always. Always. Be joyful always. And pray when? Continually. And then verse 18. Give thanks. When? In all circumstances. And then it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Forget about who should I marry, where should I go to find a job, and all these things. All these every little questions that we ask God. I said these are little questions. They all sort of kind of boil into, encircled by these three commands of God. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. So the last time I spoke, which is about 3 weeks ago, and we just took the first part. Be joyful always. And the first part is always easy because we understand joyful. We have experienced that, right? Joyful, pray. We all know prayer. We have prayed and give thanks. We've done that. So the first part is not so hard to understand. It's the second part that we have difficulty doing, right? Like the always part, you know, like the continually part, like what? In all circumstances part. Those are the hard ones. The first three, I mean, what to do is not hard to understand. And we have actually did it. But the second part is really, really hard. Really, really hard. Now, let's move to the second part, right? God's will. I think about praying. And then I'm not really sure what Paul is talking about continually. My idea of praying, I mean, this is what I taught other people too, is that you find a quiet place and go before the Lord for a time of prayer and meditations. And often I refer this as a time of devotions. We also carve out few hours a week to pray together, right, with the brothers and sisters of our church. We call that a church prayer meeting. On occasion, we have various emergencies, right? Whether it's personal or church members related, we pray for these unusual events. We incorporate prayers in our regular ministry events, such as our Friday fellowship groups, Sunday worship, and etc. So we incorporate prayer in there. It seems that we pray much at various times and occasions, alone or with other people. But God's will for us is to do this continually. What does that mean? I mean, gather with your people in the church continually praying? Well, that is really not out of the question, because you see Acts chapter 2, that's what the early church did. But continually, that there must still be gap, right? Like for example, you throughout the day that when you have conversations with other people, that interrupts your communion with God, right? And even though you can pray when you're exercising, like jogging, you know, cooking, and doing any other physical activities, you can pray and do all that. But how about if you go gaming? That's kind of hard, right? Because your mind, your eyes, your hands have to be coordinated together when you do gaming. It's kind of hard to be to pray and then do games. I don't know. Have you tried that? Maybe Lord help me to win this game. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But it just seems to me, I don't play games, but it just seems to me it's more difficult. There's a degree of difficulties in doing gaming when you're trying to pray. Also, when I am praying continually, what do I pray? You know, pretty soon I run out of things to say to God, right? I mean, for some of you, 5 minutes is a long time to pray. So I ask God, what do you have in mind when you inspire Apostle Paul to tell us that this is your will, to pray continually? Taking literally, it seems impossible to do. Impossible to do. So today, I want to start with the first phrase, pray. Once we know the praying part, what to pray, maybe it won't be so hard to pray often and frequently. You know, disciples of Jesus also have a hard time about praying. Of all the things they could ask Jesus to teach them, such as how to do evangelism, how to share the gospel, how to preach, how to do the healing and miracles, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. So this is what I choose to Luke, because of this record of Jesus teaching the disciple how to pray is also in Mark, it's also in Matthew. But I found that Luke is interesting because Luke has other details and other stories following Jesus' instructions. This is in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom comes. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgiven those who sins against us, and lead us not into temptations.'" Then he said to them, this is not recorded in other gospel. Then Luke recorded. Then he continued to say to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he does to him at midnight. He goes to him at midnight and said, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answered, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness," and there's a little note there, so the boldness can be also translated into persistence. "Because the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I said to you, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, father, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, and will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray. Lord, these are your words, and Lord, I just pray your words speak through your servant, sent by your Holy Spirit to your people, so they may see the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you must hear tens, if not hundreds of sermons about the disciples' prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. A lot of times people label this portion as the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. Lord does not pray like this. Jesus doesn't pray like this. The Lord's Prayer should be in chapter 17 of John before he went on the cross, that he prayed for us. You know, so this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is a disciples' prayer. This is what the Lord teaches his disciples. So prayer, the most obvious point of prayer is to pray. Now, it seems like that's pretty simple, right? To pray. But you know how often we don't do that. You know, we're trying to do it our way first. And when that doesn't work, then we pray. The first thing about prayer is to pray. First thing about prayer is to pray. A prayer is petition to the creator of the universe. It has a protocol, a certain rule in conversing with God. You know, many people says, okay, you know, prayer is like you just conversing with your best friend. Maybe, you know, Jesus called you his friend. So yes, you can say that. But I think most of the time when people say they're conversing with Jesus, just mean that they just blah, 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 blah to Jesus. And they really never hear what Jesus has to say. It's not a conversation. It's one way petitions, one way of, just spill out all your bitterness to him. It's never a conversation. So in this way, there is a disciples' prayer, Jesus laid out a certain protocol. And the first thing is that we go to God, and you are to call him our Father. Now, it is, I don't know how often you guys thought about this. You know, no angel is directed to call him the Father. No angel is directed to call God the Father. Only us. No one in the creative kingdom of God were instructed to call him Father. And also among us, not everybody can call him Father. You know why? Because not everyone is God's children. Everyone is God's creature. God created them, yes. But not everyone is a children. You know why I say that? I just realized that, you know? I mean, not just realize it. As I prepare it, the Spirit just highlighted. Look at in John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So who are the children of God? Those who receive his name, who receive his lordship. And verse 13, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions or a husband's will, but born of God. When we talk about born again, that means that you're born again to become children of God. So God becomes your father. That's why when you pray, when Jesus taught disciples to pray, he said, you address him as father. You address him as father. And what a privilege that is. So every time when you pray, you know, I don't know how you begin. I don't know how you begin, but you ought to begin with my father, my daddy. In fact, Matthew, the father is Abba. Abba. Like a small children will call his dad. Like daddy, daddy. So when you start praying, the first thing is that you get your relationship correct. Here's your heavenly daddy. Now, if he's daddy, that changed a lot, doesn't it? He's not just a master who said, hey, you know, this is my assignment for you. Daddy means you can go to him and in love, in what we call it? I don't know the Chinese word, but I don't know the English word. 撒娇, you know what that means? You can go to him and says, daddy, can you do this for me? Would you give me this? That's daddy. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about that. And then he follows with, hallowed be your king, your name, and your kingdom comes. And in other disciples, other recording of this Lord's Prayer is that thy will be done. So we recognize as you started right relationship, daddy and you, and then when you started praying, is that it is not about your needs and wants. Isn't it true that every time we pray, it's about, you know, God, I want this. I want that. I mean, children can ask for that. But then that is kid. As you grow in the Lord, you can't always continue to be like a child, right? You learn. So the first thing that you learn is that this prayer is not about your needs and wants. It is about him. It is about him, his kingdom, his name, his will. If you have keep that in mind, if you keep that in mind, there's hundreds of things will come into your mind and heart. If that prayer is about him, it's about praising him, it's about thanking him, it is about honoring him, right? When you see flower blooming, there's something should come into your heart. What amazing. No painter can paint something like that. I just realized this week, our peony changed color. We cut a red peony and put it in the house, and over how many days, maybe 3 or 4 days, it changes to a pink color. It changed to pink. So it's amazing how these flowers, just looking at it, the creativity of God. When you see the oceans, you wonder about the deep sanctuary in the oceans. And the scripture says that he is there. He is there. It's about, when you talk about honoring him, we thought of not taking his name in vain. And then people who uses the name of Jesus Christ in vain, you just feel uncomfortable. Even though you don't have the nerve to correct him, but you feel a certain uncomfort about people using his name in vain. So all these things sort of kind of in your mind, in your heart. And when you see the mountain, and then you remember, mountain, bow down and worship him. And when you look to the mountain, you know where your help come from. Your help come from the creator of heaven and earth. So all these things, as you visualize them, as you see them, All these things come into your mind, and these are prayers. Even though you did not verbally say it, but in your heart, you were praising and thanking Him. That's prayers. That's prayer to God. That's prayer to God. You know, it's like, that's what you say to God. Oh, what an amazement. And what God say to you is to show you the thing. To show you the thing. That's prayer. That's prayer. So you can see anything in this world that is not man-made. There is the glory of God. You don't see a Tesla and says, praise be God for such a wonderful electric car. But you see a horse. That's a praise be God. What majestic animal he is. You know, even though these prayers are not petition, but you know, prayer is much more than asking, right? I think this may be a part of when Paul says pray. When pray. Then you go to the next line when Jesus taught his disciple about give us each day our daily bread. There's only one line in Jesus teaching his disciple to pray. Only one line about your needs. And that need is taking off from the story of manna from heaven. Jesus is referring to the manna from heaven. What is the rule of gathering manna? Do you remember? You find manna every day. In the morning, you go out and gather. And that gather enough for you to feed your whole family. The more you gather, what will happen? You think, hey, maybe I can gather more, put it in storage, and then sell it. Making a profit. You know what happened, right? The manna will become maggot. Just spoil. You keep it for over a day. So there's enough for you to eat out there, everywhere. So, our daily bread. That is Israel's daily bread. And God fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. So God is Jesus wanted to teach his disciple. He said, yes, you are asking me just for today's needs. You trust God for tomorrow, the manna will still be there. Right? You trust God, manna will still be there. And you just thank God for his provision today. So, if you, with that in mind, you think about praying, about daily things. My daughter has 3 kids. Man, she is so tired. She has to drive to pick up Eliana and Elijah at the same time, pacify Ethan, who was, you know, in the backseat driver, we call him, you know, crying, want his snacks. You know, I think for her, it just says, Lord, give me strength for the next hour so I can get home. And for expecting mother, Lord, help me to finish the day and still have energy to do some grocery shopping. For student, it is God, I need more brain cell today to finish my computer program homework. Aiden, right? More brain cell, Lord, more brain. I need to turn this in. Daily needs. You know, if you really look at it, you have lots of daily needs. But for some reason, we always focus on the future needs. We think that God can help us in the future. So we pray for mostly the future things. Not about today. not giving thanks. We just sort of kind of pass today. We just look tomorrow, next week, the week after that. And this is not what Jesus had taught us to pray. You know, if you're just looking at the daily needs, for me, every day, I ask God, give me words to say to you when I prepare a sermon. And there are endless things that turns into a continuity of prayers, right? That turns into a continuity of prayers. It is continually lifting up these daily challenges in petitions. Maybe this is what God had in mind for Paul to write. Pray continually, because praying daily for the daily challenges and need is a continuous thing, because you always need God. So, but you say, today plus today plus today plus today, eventually it's just sort of kind of continue on, right? The last portion of this lesson I want to highlight is our protections, right? This is what Jesus taught his disciple. We need to constantly seeking his protections. Remember, Paul said, our daily struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm. You know, evil never takes a day off. It is always trying to trip you and trap you. And we need to see God's protections. You know, he says, lead us not into temptation. In other words, it seems to suggest that you ask God for protection before you enter into protections. Before you enter into temptations. It's before you are tempted. Lead you away from that. Not while already in the temptation. And then say, God, well, please, help lead me away from these temptations. No. Before you are tempted, pray this prayer. Lead me away from the temptations. It is also a prayer for not to have the temptation come to us. It is not only asking God to shield us from the evil one, but also take us away from the evil ones. So that happens all the time. I don't know. I mean, do you know that you have been tempted? Do you know how often you've been tempted? You know, I always feel is that if there wasn't God protecting me, shield me away from all this evilness, man, I don't know what I will become. I don't know what I will be. See, that is something that you come to recognize. You come to recognize. You know, God is already protecting you from being lured away by the temptations. So this is the content of our prayers. And like I said, it's on the daily and the minute, moment by moment basis. It is not just a command anymore. It is a necessity for living in the flesh. But like I said, the other gospel did not have the story that Jesus continued on in verse 5 to 13. I think the 5 to 13 sort of kind of shed more light on the continuity part of his command in 1 Thessalonians. Verse 7 and verse 8, right? Suppose someone to come to you and to ask for something, and then you didn't really want to give it to him because it's inconvenient for you. And Jesus says, because this man's persistence, that you just get up and said, okay, I'll give you something. I'll give you whatever you ask. So that is the background of the story. So I thought the word persistence is important in praying continually. Persistent. Now, I've been asking God to give me $1.3 billion lottery tickets. I pray every time when the things get up to hundreds of million dollars. Lord, just give me the right number. Just give me the right number. Persistent. That's persistent, right? People have been praying like that for years and never hit it. So persistent is not in that sense, because we already know the parameters in verse 2, 3, and 4. Is that you don't need a $1.3 billion for daily living. Do you? No. So I can tell you, God will never answer a prayer like that for you guys, because you're God's children. God has something better for you. Most of our challenge is not to pray for $1.3 billion hit on the lottery tickets. I don't think that's our challenge. We don't do that. But our challenge is to keep on praying when there is no answer. You know, you had knocked on the door where God lives, and then keep on praying. And when there's no answer, you knock once, twice, three times, or maybe 10 times. Eventually, you conclude nobody is at home. So you move on. So you move on. Praying continually maybe is this. In the face of unanswered prayer, in the face of challenges in life, in the hopeless situation, we continue to lift our requests to God. It is not just a exercise in persistence, but it's also an exercise in faith. Faith to believe God hears your prayers and God will answer your prayer. Either he grants your prayer or he gives you something better than what you asked for. So the story tells us that you have to be persistent. And in order to be persistent, you have to have faith, continue faith. So this is two spiritual qualities that God wants to kind of input in your life. And then, lastly, Jesus refocused back on Heavenly Father. See, he started with, right, I teach you to pray about calling God our daddy. And then in the last part, and he refocused that onto the Father. In verse 11, which of your father, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for egg, we'll give him a scorpion. And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, beginning with the Father, now he ends this portion of teaching with the Father again. Focusing in on Father. So you can say, yes, I learned how to pray with Jesus, you know, with Jesus' disciples. I learned how to pray. I give him honor. I continually, whenever I see something amazing, give him thanks. And I learned not to ask for anything beyond today. You learn all this from Jesus, but still this continuity bothers you. Bothers me anyway. This word continually. Because there always be gaps. And continually means without interruptions. So I'm still fall short of his will. Even I learn how to pray like Jesus taught his disciples. I feel the Lord Jesus has pointed a way for us to pray continually. And he says in the last portion of verse 13, the good gifts, right? You want to seek God for the good gift, and God's going to give you the good gift. And what is that good gift? How much more your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Holy Spirit. You guys have Holy Spirit in you, right? You have the Holy Spirit in you. How does that kind of work together with your prayers? Roman, maybe this will give us some clue. You know, when you approach the scripture, it's almost like an investigative reporter. You ask questions, and then the Lord will direct you to the right scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit help us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts know the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Wow, okay. The Spirit in you. Now, does the Spirit take a day off? Today I think, you know, I'm just going to leave Alice to do whatever she wants to do. Okay, I'm taking a day off. Spirit doesn't. And sometimes in this verse it says, we do not know how to pray or even willing to pray. Even forgotten to pray. But what happened then? The Spirit fills in your gap. The Spirit fills in your gap, and Spirit pray for you even while you are unnoticed. Even when you are sleeping, the Spirit intercedes for you. So the Spirit fills in those crack and this gap in your prayer life. What happened was that sometimes the Spirit reminds you this is God's will. And you pray out loud in words. You pray, yes, I agree. So you pray like that. That's how Spirit works, to give you words. So you are in agreement with the Holy Spirit. You're in agreement with the, now, if your prayer is not according to God's will, you know what happened? The Spirit works in your heart, so it changes your prayers. It changes your prayer. So when you eventually happen is that you are in agreement with God's word. So it is not so much about your words. You just blah, 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 saying to God. That's not prayer. That's a laundry list. The prayer is what the Spirit puts in your heart, and you repeat that to God. It is not your words that matter. It is God's words that matters. And Spirit does that. Spirit does that for you, even while you are unnoticed, unaware. And he intercedes for you. Intercedes for you. Uninterrupted. So when Paul says, this is God's will, pray continually, my interpretation is that you, Spirit, pray continually and you agree with him. Now, I said, not necessarily in words that you do it like in the church prayer meeting and with words, But you agree with him in your heart. Yes, you know, I am so impressed with that tree. I'm so impressed with the scenes I see before me. You know, in your heart, silently, you agree. That's prayers. That's prayer. And that is only because the Holy Spirit reminds you of that. The Holy Spirit says, look at that. So pray continually is like that. We are learning to hear the voice of the Spirit. Praying continually, you have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, and then you verbalize it to God. Then you verbalize it to God. That is praying continually. Now you're doing. You can't do it. There always gap. But Spirit fills in those gaps. Isn't that beautiful? So relax. Relax. You need to hear, learn to hear what the Spirit is saying. And when you don't know how to pray, the Spirit prays for you. Spirit prays for you. Okay, we have one more to give thanks always next week. So, and then we take a summer off, summer vacations, because the school is out. And so from May 19 is our last time. GCBCR is coming to send us off to summer vacations. So they're going to come, and then we'll have hopefully we have lunch, but it's not the fourth Sunday. Fourth Sunday is Lynchburg. You think that maybe we can, maybe I'll petition so we can move our lunch up 1 week, you know, on the 19th. Okay. Thank God for you guys coming. Let me see. Always brings me much joy to see all of you. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your children, and they belong to you. May Lord that people around them see the glory of God through them. Even without words, Lord, see the glory of God through them. In Jesus' name. Amen.